Wow. After an introduction like that, I don't know whether to sit here and cry or run. You know, I don't know what to do. But I know I'm a man. That's one thing about it. Feels like going out to battle. Amen. How many of you know that we're in a battle? How many of you know that we're winning? Whether it looks like it or not, we are winning. Because we got to win this world to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter about the stocks and the bonds and the gold and the silver. It matters about the precious jewels that Jesus died for. And that's the ones we got to go after. Today I want to talk to you about joy. Everybody say joy. And I've never done an acrostic teaching. I think that's what this is. It's J-O-Y. They taught us how to do that at Bible college a little bit. I think I might have missed that day. That they did it, but I do remember enough of it. But I do know one thing. The first thing we're going to talk about is J. And what you think that stands for? That stands for Jesus. And I have found through the years about being in the church, about being around people, because of the way the world does, and it draws people away from the things of God, it draws people away from God, that we as pastors need to try to pull you in every now and then and remind you who you are. Now, some of you are doing great with that, but sometimes people forget who they are in Christ Jesus. And I want to share a little bit about it today, and I want us to look at some scriptures. I had asked them to maybe put this up on the screen. But if you got your Bible, I really wish you'd take your Bible out, and I really wish you'd get a pen and mark this, because this is going to be important to you somewhere along the way, that you're going to have to open the Bible up and read what it says and remember to do what the Bible, the scripture says. And this is taken out of Philippians, the second chapter. And this is the whole crux of the message that I have today. And I want it to touch your life. If you leave this building today and you're not changed, I have not done what I'm supposed to do as a pastor, or a pastor in this church. And I want it to ingrain into you that when you leave here that you'll know I have something to do, I have something to show forth, and I am somebody in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Is that fair? Now, before we start, I want us to pray just a minute. Father, we just come today, Lord God, and as we open your word today, Lord, I pray by the power of the Holy Ghost that it would speak to our hearts. Lord, that it would touch our spirit man, Lord God, that every word that goes forth from your lips, Lord God, that was penned by the writer of this book, Lord God, would go and just instill itself within our lives, Lord God, that we would take it, we would know who we are, we would grow by it, that it would give us vision, not only for us, but for others and for you, Lord God, in every part of it, in the name of Jesus. We ask that the Holy Ghost would open our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears and let us see, let us hear what you have for us today. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, if you'll turn there, Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, how many of you need some comfort of love once in a while? All of us do. Every one of us do. Of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, how many of you need fellowship with the Spirit of God? We all need the fellowship with the Spirit of God every day. You know, I got a prayer that I do sometimes before I ever get out of my bed. I say, Lord, this is my altar today. I'm laying my life as a living sacrifice to you. You take me and you use me today. And I get up out of bed and intentionally go out to be used of God. Amen? Now, I used to do that and I would just roll over and cover up and go back to sleep. We can't do that. We got to get up. We got things to do. There are places to go, people to see, and things to happen around our life. So I want to challenge you to do that. Be in fellowship with the Holy Ghost every day. Get to where you know him personally. He is a person. He is just like you and I. He's got feelings. He can be rejected. He can be ostracized out of your conversation, out of your life if you let him. But I've chose not to do that. He is my closest friend about everything. And it matters if we stay in touch and tune with what he's doing. It says, if any affection and mercy fulfill my joy. Everybody say, fulfill my joy. Now, we're talking about fulfilling the joy of the Lord. Not my joy, not Pastor Terry's joy, but his joy. If we want to fulfill his joy, this is what we need to be doing. And it says, by being like-minded. Like-minded. That is, think the thoughts that God thinks and not our thoughts. Most of you know that most Americans, we do stinking thinking. You know, we got our own opinion about stuff and we want to do it our way or no way. But we got to come to that place and say, God, I want your way. I want to be like-minded with you. I want to think on those things that you think on, and I want to do those things that you do. God, help me to be like-minded with you. Having the same love. That's that agape love. That's having that love not only for your brothers and your sisters, but having that love for a lost and dying world that's going to hell. That we need to have that love that Jesus saw for the lost and dying world. And he came and he died on a cross for them because he loved them. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave himself. Now he's telling us in the same way, be like-minded. This is the way I'm thinking and this is the way I love. I want you to think like me and I want you to love like me. How many of you think that's a good thing to do? That's carrying out the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. You know, we've been praying on Wednesday nights and believing God for revival to break loose in our church. I mean, I want to see it all over America, that God's Spirit would move, that the church would take its place and it would begin to stand and believe for those things that are righteous, stand for those things that are good and just. But I want to see that happen in our church, that where we have a move of God, when we come through these doors, that we won't even be able to stand up. That literally we'll be taking our shoes off, walking down here, getting on our face before the Lord. Amen? You know, we're doing some remodeling right here, but God wants to do the remodeling in us. There's some things that he wants to do. There's going to be some lights going on up here. There's going to be some sound. But God's got some lights that's sitting right here in the auditorium that he wants to illuminate. He's got some sounds that he wants the redeemed of the Lord to say so. Amen? It's time for us to get up and be vocal about what God is doing in our lives. People will never know who the church is if we don't get up as Christians and say, God, this is the way it's going to be. And I know that you've promised me that we're going to see it. Amen. See, I'm believing for a move of God in this church. That we'll get so excited. It'll be so much love in here. It'll be so much excitement that we can't stand it. Literally, we'll get on our face before God. Amen. No, verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. He's just giving us a little warning right here. Not to get too selfish and get too conceited about it. Don't get too haughty. Don't get too prideful. But just let God do the work. He has to remind us of these things. And it says, through selfish ambition and conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let us esteem others better than themselves. You know, that's a great call of God once you start doing that. When you start moving and you start treating other people better than yourself, people recognize that. And they say, you know what? That's a special person because they treat me very good. And there's a lot of people in this world today that are not getting treated very good at all. There's a lot of abuse going on, especially in the children and stuff, the older people. But it's time for us as a church to start esteeming others better than ourselves. When's the last time you sat and combed somebody's hair for them? You know, Janice combs mine pretty regular. You can tell she gets kind of rough with it. She used to twirl it at night when she was going to sleep. She'd twirl my hair. And it'd make her go to sleep. And the only thing, it made me bald-headed. You know? But when you esteem others as yourself, you begin to do something for people. You naturally will have love for that person. You will go do stuff for that person. You'll encourage that person. You'll read them the Word of God, maybe. You'll do something special in their life if you will do that. It says, let each of us look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Not only for our interest, but for the interest of other people. You know, we get people every now and then that we see in our body that has a need, and they really don't know how to help themselves in some situations. And, you know, we had an exciting time about a week or so ago that one of our ladies, Pastor Terry, and I was able to sit down with her and just encourage her and try to help her plan out some things in the future for her life as she's getting older. And it's like, you know, we're fulfilling what the gospel says, that we're helping people. We're looking out for their interest, not our interest. It's for their interest that we're helping them to get plugged in where they need to go. And what a great thing to do. And it's not that we're great men of God. It's just that's the need. And when you see the need, you fulfill the need. And God will take care of the situation. Amen? Now, how many people may be living next door to you that don't know what to do and how to do some things? And it may be up to you to be the one to go there and to share with them what to do and how to do it. I'll never forget when my dad was passing away, we got hospice to come over. And those are great people, by the way. I want to put a plug in there for them because they had some good Christian people that came and ministered to my mom and dad, my brothers and sisters, when I was not there helping them. But they came and they showed them and they walked them through every little step that they needed to go through, all the way up to the point to where they're the ones that called the corner and got them to come and pick up my dad after he passed away. But they were sweet people. They prayed with us. They did everything. And that's the hospice group. Where is the church group? Where is the church in times of need like that? Thank God for hospice. They do a wonderful job. But the church people need to be there too. They need to be there to encourage people and help them and sustain them while they're going through the situations that they go through. And if you live long enough and you got parents, you're going to probably walk through that too one day. But I want to encourage you. You can do it. Just start now. Start with somebody else's family, and it'll just flow right in place when it gets to your time. Amen? It says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Let that mind be in us. And that is the first thing that's going to start bringing joy in our life. When we start doing that, the scripture says, it says, fulfill my joy. And when we start doing what the scripture says, the joy is fulfilled. There's nothing more satisfying than to do the will of God. It humbles you. It does not make you proud. It does not make you arrogant about things. It just humbles you. I'll never forget the first time that I prayed for someone. My uncle had an ear. He fell off of a road grader. He used to drive one years ago up in Mississippi. And he fell off and he broke his hip real bad. A road grader. Y'all know what a road grader is? Big, big machine. And it rolled over him and crushed his hip and his leg. And it also hit him on the side of the head. And he was deaf in one ear. And they called me one time and said, would you come up to Osaka and do a Bible study one night? I'm a brand new Christian. It's like, a Bible study? I don't know how to do that. And they said, yeah, you need to come. I said, okay. So I called Janice from work. That's when I was still at the dealership. And I said, we're going to Mississippi tonight. I got somewhere I got to go. So we went, and I'll never forget going in there, and I just started sharing with the people that was in the group, all of them gathered up there, sharing about the things that God has done in my life in particular, how he healed me, how he raised me, and he did all these things, and I'm sharing it with them. And I said, my uncle was sitting like right where Kerry's at, and he kept going, huh? Huh? He wasn't that old to be going, huh? But he couldn't hear. And I said, Uncle Bill, you can't hear me? And he said, no. He said, I've been robbed of my hearing. He said, ever since I fell off of that road grader and it ran over me, he said, I can't hear. So I hadn't been going to church because I can't hear what the preacher's been saying. And it's like, the Holy Ghost said to me, pray for him right now. And I walked over to him and I put both of my fingers on his ears. And I said, Jesus, heal him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I took my hands off of him and I looked at him and he's just sitting there looking at me. And everybody in the room now is sitting there looking at all of us like, buddy, you on the spot. What are you going to do? And it's like, you know what? I'm not on the spot. I'm doing what Jesus told me to do. God is on the spot. He's the one that hung on the cross, not me. He's the one that went to the whipping post and got the stripes. He's the one that did it. It's not me. All I'm doing is being obedient to what the Holy Spirit says to do. And he was sitting there and he said, oh! And I said, what's the matter? He said, nothing's the matter. And it's like, you can hear me then. And I said, can you hear me? Well, yeah, I can hear you. I said, can you really hear me? I turned away from him. Did I not do this, James? I said, can you really hear me? And he said, I can hear you very well. Now, amen. That humbled me because God Almighty honored what I asked him to do for my uncle. I had nothing to do with it other than just being obedient to what the Holy Ghost said to do. And God did the work. Now, I wish I could say that every time that I've ever prayed for someone, that happened. It has not. You know why? Because sometimes Kenny gets the glory for it. Or someone else gets the glory for it. Instead of letting people know that it's Jesus that did it. All I was a messenger bringing a message. And all I was hands that God has to lay hands on the sick and let him do his work and his will in people's life. So y'all hear what I'm saying? You see, but it's time for all of us. Because I guarantee you, every one of you in here probably has an Uncle Bill or an Aunt Hazel or an Aunt Bernice or an Aunt Billy Joe or Aunt whoever. You know, all my folks got two first names, most of them, you know, they're from Mississippi. Some of you got aunts with one name, that's fine, you know. But if they got two names, the odds are they need extra attention to them. Just say, Lord bless him. He'll get tasted. But the first thing is joy. And you say, well, how do I know that I can do that kind of stuff? How do I know? What can I do? What do you do with this kind of stuff? I'm going to tell you what we start with. We start with J. That's Jesus. I'm going to tell you who he is. He said, that is the name above all names. He said, everything you do in my name. See, we need to know that. That is God's, I hate to use this term, but that is God's stamp of approval on our life. The name of Jesus. And it's him. And it's not about us. It's all about him. One thing, he is our creator. He is our Savior. He is the Son of God. He's our all in all. He's our healer. He's our deliverer. He's a salvation in him alone. No other salvation. I don't care what kind of denomination or religion you try to join. There is no salvation other than Jesus Christ. Amen? You can forget about having a pyramid and being all around it and trying to get to the top. There is no pyramids in God. God is God, period. He is the only way to the Father. Amen? Jesus is his name too. He's the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He's the Counselor when you need a counselor. He's the Great Shepherd. How many of you know that we are the sheep and he is the shepherd? When we need a shepherd, he's always there. He's a King of Kings. He's a Lord of Lords and he's the Alpha and the Omega. He is everything that we will ever need in our lifetime. Jesus is J. He's Jesus, period. That tells me that we have everything that we will ever need on the face of the earth because we have Jesus. I thank God that I got a wife, I got kids, I got a home to live in, I got cars to drive, I got a job that I can go to work, I got food in the pantry, I got some money in my pocket. I got a lot of things, but I'm going to tell you what, none of it is as important as Jesus Christ. None of it. Without Jesus, it would all be nothing and void. As the Apostle Paul said, it would be dung to me. But I have Jesus. I have everything. And so do you. So do you. Now, that's the J in the acrostic. Now, let's move on. This is others. This is others. It's spelled J-O-Y. Okay? J-O-Y. This is others. And we just read the scriptures. Did it not say esteem others better than yourself? It says love those more than you love yourself. Jesus said that in the great commandment. He says love the Lord God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And the second one is like unto this. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now that came from the mouth of Jesus, the one that we were just talking about. Now, if he told us that, that means we better pay close attention because it has a lot to do with other people. We will miss out on part of the will of God if we miss the O. And the O is other people. Listen to the other people. Jesus says, in fact, turn to Matthew 25. This is a scripture that we need to come and really understand the meaning of this. I say we, I do too. The more I read it, the more I get convicted about it. And it's like, check my heart out, Lord, and make sure that I'm doing this. You know, we run across a lot of stuff at the church right here. A lot of people that are on drugs. A lot of people come here. Not you guys. I'm talking about people that come here. Some of you may be. I don't know, but we want to get you off of it. But a lot of people come here for help. And it's hard sometimes to make a decision about helping some people because you never know if it's a real bona fide person that needs some help or if it's just somebody come here just to get whatever they're going to do. How many of you know they got church hoppers and they go from place to place just to get stuff? You know, when somebody drives up in a brand new car and they got it full of groceries and they come in and want some more groceries, go home and eat what you got. Maybe even sell that car and get you another one that you can do. I mean, some people, their priority level is way out of whack on everything. But we have to make decisions about that. And every time one of these pops up, I really have to take that to heart and say, God, is this a real bona fide thing to help this person? Or is this person just here to rip us off? Because you see, just like Brother Terry said about the money that you people give, we got to be good stewards of that. Well, that's God's money. How many of you know when you give that money and you put it in those boxes, that is God's money? And that means that we need to be very careful where that money goes. And I don't want to just give it to somebody and they take it and run off with it. That's not what it's for. It's to help people. So there's a fine discernment right there. It's kind of like these people that you see on the side of the road. And I know somebody that's been there and done that before. They got, well, work for food. Well, sometimes you stop. Most people just go by and give them money because they got a guilty conscience. And they give them money and just drive off. But some of those people live in fine condos in Florida, $250,000, $300,000 places, and they come up here to get money, and they bring their family with them to make money. Now, that's horrible. But we need, as Christians, we need discernment about that. Because I've stopped sometimes and asked them, I say, will you work? Yeah, I'll work. I said, well, come, get in. Let's go. I got a job for you. No, I can't go right now. It's like, well, when can you come? Well, I can come tomorrow. I said, okay, when you come tomorrow, I'll give you the money, but you ain't getting it now. Now, I know some of you think I'm a very mean person by doing it. Okay, verse 35, it says, for I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in and naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did this unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto who? Me. You did it as unto the Lord. You know, I look at things like that as when I'm there, it's a one-man deal between me and God. And when I help somebody, I'm doing it just like Jesus was sitting there and I gave it to him. Whether you gave them food, whether you gave them water, a cup of water, whether you gave them, you took them in, put them in your house or put them up in a room or wherever you did, whatever you did it as unto Jesus, not that person. See, that will make you look a little deeper into people's lives and help you with discernment more than what we can see with the natural eye. Amen? Let's see. Verse 41, it says, then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer him, saying, Lord, and look at the word they use right there. Lord, L-O-R-D. He's not their Lord, even though they called him Lord. And it says, and Lord, lost my place here. Let's see. 44, yes. Yeah, when did we see you hungry and thirsty or a stranger or naked and sick and in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer and saying to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. You know, that's a scripture that'll bring all of us. We ought to put that kind of scripture on our refrigerator and remind us about what we're doing for the things of God. We need to remember that because we are going to run across people that are needy. How many of you know that right now they got 33% of America out of work? That tells me that there's a lot of poor people, legitimate poor people that need some help. There's a lot of people that need the gospel. Sometimes you may not be able to give somebody much other than a can of beans and some bread and maybe a little gas money and stuff. But you can give them hope. They need hope more than they do anything. And this is a great time for the people of God to come to the occasion and begin to minister to people everywhere. They're everywhere that you go. I'm amazed. I was at the Cadillac place the other day doing my Bible study at the Cadillac place. And they had a person there that was in dire need of a lot of things. Of all places to be at the Cadillac place. But you can have people that are rich, people that look like they're wealthy, but they are empty and dry on the inside. And they need a touch from God. And if we stand there and we talk to people long enough, they will tell you where they are. If they're hungry. And if they're hungry, let's feed them. They will tell you, I'm homeless. And they may be living in a castle somewhere, but it's not a home. It's just a house that they're living in. How many of you know there's a difference between a house and a home? A home is where people live and there's peace and joy and love there. A house is just a container that holds people. And we got a lot of people just living in containers and not living in a home. And we need to, as Christians, give those people something to visualize, something that will help their lives and to get them on with the things of God. He said, do that. If you see me, he said, do that. Even to the least of them, you've done it unto me. Give them a cup of water. Love thy neighbor as thyself. That was the second commandment. We talked about that. Paul, Abel and Cain. You know the story. It's in the book of Genesis where they were fighting and Cain kills Abel and God brings him to the confrontation of it. He said, Cain, where's your brother? Cain said, am I his brother's keeper? Am I his brother's keeper? And you look around and you see a lot of people, even Christian people sometimes, it's like, am I responsible for what they did? Am I responsible for that? Yes. They're people. They're people that God put on this earth that we are supposed to be their keepers in things. How many of you know that one day, well, I'm not going to go there yet. I'm going to bring that up later. That we're also supposed to pray for our enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Have you ever had anybody despitefully use you and try to do things to hurt you or say things about you or do something to discourage you? The Bible says pray for those people. That God will deal with them, not us. How many of you know we don't fight flesh and blood? We fight principalities and powers and dominions, amen? And if we do that, then that tells me I don't need to carry a Smith and Wesson around on my hip. I don't need to carry a stick to beat somebody into submission. I need to get on my knees and I need to pray for that person that God would change them. Because I'm going to tell you what, I was an enemy to other people at one time. And so were you. Every one of us was in that same situation, that we were enemies of God, whether we claimed it or not, we were. If you're not with him, you're against him. And that's where we were, most of us. But somebody, somewhere along the way, prayed enough for you and I that we came to that place and that realization of where the Holy Ghost quickened our heart and sprung us out of that thing into everlasting life. Amen? Aren't you excited about that? You were the others at one time. Every one of us was. Bring the good news to them. He has already sent the Holy Ghost to convict them of sin. You know, one of God's plan is to save people. It is one of God's will is to save people. Is everybody in agreement with that? That's the scripture. It is God's will that all be saved. Now, are all saved? No. But all can be. The opportunity is there for them. But the Bible also says, how will they know unless someone goes and tells them? How will they know unless someone goes and preaches the word to them? That tells me that it's my place to go and to share the love of God with lost people. God is not going to come down most of the time from heaven. He can and he can do anything he wants to. I wish he would have did me this way. If he'd have just appeared and said, Kenny, you need to be saved. I surrender. It didn't happen that way because he had a lot of hard-headedness in this thing right here. He had a lot of self-will in this thing right here. And he had to allow some things to come about in my life to get me to the place where I really looked up and said, God, I need you. I'm lost and I need a Savior. Would you come and change my life? But I'm going to tell you what, I never in my life had one person come to me on an individual basis and tell me about the love of Jesus Christ. Not one. I think about that sometimes. It's like I did have one person that gave me a tract years ago when I was real young, and I looked at it and it looked like a little comic book with little stick people in it. And I looked at it and I said, get out of here, man. You call yourself a Christian, you ugly. You drive an ugly car and I don't even like you. Don't ever give me a funny book to tell me about the love of God. I mean, that's just how proud and arrogant that I was. But after I got saved, I'm going to tell you what, I picked up a tract one day and it's like, wow, this is the Word of God. This is something that will change somebody's life. And you know, then that little bell goes off in there. It's like, yeah, you idiot, you had one time. You threw it down. But it's like, you know what, God? I'll give them out. I'll give everybody I come around a tract. I'll tell them about you. This is one of my callings. When I got off of that hospital floor at the Lady of the Lake Hospital, and most of you know my testimony, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I accepted Christ, and I said, God, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do, and I'll say what you want me to say. God, you open the door, let me go, and I'll be faithful about doing what you said do. God, I will witness, and I don't care if they're a king or a pauper. God, they're important. They're special people because you created them. And if you created them and you call me to go forth, I'm going to go and I'm going to do my part. And At one time, I had this fire in me. And it was like, I want to get somebody saved every day. And I'll never forget getting up one Sunday morning at another church that we were at that time. And I made that commitment. I said, I'm going to try to the best of my ability to tell somebody about Jesus every day. Especially if they're lost. I want to see them get saved first. And if they're Christians, I want to exhort them and encourage them and get them to go out and do what the scripture says to do. And I was amazed for 33 days in a row. I'm not lying. 33 days in a row, I was able to lead somebody to the Lord. 3 of those, I was able to encourage people. But 33 of those, you know why I did that? Because I made a confession with my mouth. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord, what? Say so. And if we say so, there are people out there with ears like elephants that will listen to us. That's already prepared by the power of the Holy Ghost. God has been knocking on their heart's door for months, maybe even years. And he's waiting for a Christian somewhere to go and to tell that person the good news. And all it's going to be is a confirmation. Now, I do understand the analogy. You may go, some are going to go and they're going to plant. Some are going to go and they're going to water, but some are going to go and they're going to reap. Now that 33 days that I did that, I was reaping something that somebody else had already planted. But if I had not done my part, all of their planting and all their watering wouldn't have gotten done. And you say, wow, I would do that if I was rich. Have you ever done that before? You know, you had an opportunity and it's like, well, if I was a rich person, I would do that. Or if I could do that, if I was not so timid, I could probably go do that. If I were a little bit more bold, maybe I could do it. Or if I had the means of helping somebody that I don't think I have, maybe I would help them. Well, I want you to know, we're going to go to the other part of it now. Because we've already done what, J? We've already done O. Now we're going to do you. I'm going to show you who you are. In Christ Jesus. The first thing is, you're chosen. You are an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a royal priesthood. You're an alien. Everybody say amen. You're also a sojourner. That means this is not our home. We're passing through this thing. What we do, we need to do it now because we're not going to be here forever. So I'm a sojourner. I am an alien to this world. I am in the world, but I am not of the world. That calls me an alien, and so are you. That's who you are. Another thing is, I'm a branch on his vine. The very vine that brings life to everything, I'm a branch that's connected to that. And that life that's in him flows through me. That makes me somebody. I don't know about you. You're called, you're appointed, and you're anointed, and you're commissioned to go forth with the gospel. That tells me that I don't have time to be sitting around doing nothing. There's something that I can be doing every day that I live. that I'm appointed, I'm anointed, I'm commissioned to go forth. God has empowered us, if you will. He has given us power and authority in His name to go forth and do whatever needs to be done. That tells me that I am a person of importance, and so are you as a Christian. Amen. I hope you don't get excited about stuff here, but I just get a little fired up about here. Another thing, that we're set in heavenly places. Oh, yeah, you're fulfilling a spot on a pew today, but my Bible says that you sit in heavenly places. The Bible also says that one day we're going to judge angels. That's mind-blowing. I'm going to tell them, you shouldn't have fell. They had the opportunity, the same opportunities we did, but you know what got them kicked out of heaven? The same thing that will keep us out of heaven, and that's pride. And it's not a prideful thing to judge angels. It's going to be humbling. I got a feeling. I'm not sure how all that's going to work. You can explain that next time you preach, right? That's why he's a senior and I'm just an associate. You have the presence of the Lord. You have the presence of the Lord in your life. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. That God literally lives inside of each and every one of you that are born again Christians. Amen? That you are a temple. That also tells me, by the way, that since it's us, we need to take care of this temple the best way that we can. I mean, there are some things that's going to happen that you cannot help. But there are some things that you can help your body to do. You can eat right, act right, don't do foolish, crazy things like I used to do and break bones and teeth and all that kind of stuff. But there are things that you got to do because you are a temple that God lives in. Amen? You're blessed going in. You're blessed going out. You're highly favored of the Lord. That tells me that you're important. That's you. That's not someone else. That's you. And it says, and you're more than a conqueror. You're prospered in everything that you put your hand to. My Bible says that whatever I put my hand to will prosper. But green things at my house. Janice, I dig her a hole and she puts things in it and she does her thing. I dig a hole, I put stuff in it. Bless it in Jesus' name. I come back and it looks like it was cursed in Jesus' name. You're more than a conqueror. That literally means a winner. In every situation, everyone. You might lose a little battle once in a while, but you've never lost the war because Jesus is going to let you win. But you need to know, greater is He that's in you than he that is in this world, because you're more than a conqueror by doing those things. Another thing is, you're a lively stone. Tell everybody, say, I'm a piece of the rock, you know. You're the apple of His eye. You're the apple. Do you know what the apple is? I got a lot of things that's the apple of my... I mean, a lot of things that could be the apple of my eye, but none of it matters. There's only one thing that's the apple of my eye, and that's my wife. It's not somebody else. It's my wife. She's the apple of my eye, and I am God's apple. I'm the apple of His eye. When He looks at me, He favors me way more than He does y'all. According to me. Now, you, according to you, He favors you more. But one thing I know, I am highly favored of the Lord. And I am the apple of His eye. I am somebody because God made me. We're the sheep of His pasture. We're kingdom builders. Kingdom builders. Think about that. The kingdom of God has already gone forth in this world, and it's up to us to go and to build and to fashion it. Just like we're doing stuff here and fixing and doing stuff. We're the builders of doing that. We're the builders of helping people put things in their life that makes them look like the people of God. We're builders of the kingdom of God. Another thing the Bible says is you are a witness. You are a witness. If you saw an accident out there on the highway today and you saw it and you made that known to someone, they could subpoena you to court because you what? You saw it. You were the first-hand witness to see what went on out there. And they can get you to come to court and they would make you tell the truth and nothing but the truth. And that tells me that we are witnesses. I have witnessed the power of God. I have witnessed the salvation of God. I have witnessed what God can do in other people's lives. I'm an eyewitness to those things and I will stand my ground for it. Amen? And you should too. But I'm a witness. But if you ask some people, said, are you, if you got convicted to go to court for being a Christian, is there enough evidence against you to be convicted? You think about that. Some Christians can't even tell you what born again means. They can't even tell you what it means to have the presence of God in their life. They have very little knowledge of what the Word of God says, where they're going and how they're getting there and what they're doing. What is their purpose on this earth? The simple things that I'm sharing this morning, I'm amazed that some Christians don't even have a clue what some of that is. But we need to know that we are witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. That tells me that we need to study the Word. We need to go to church. We need to get involved, rub shoulders with people, cry with people, laugh with people, be with people and help people and be helped. How many of you need help once in a while? Another thing is, you're a child of the living God. A child of the living God. We have all we need. You know, I asked you a while ago, it says, well, in the other part, if I was a rich man, I would do this. Well, I want you to know, you're more than a rich man. You're a child of the King. Any and everything you will ever need, God has already got it for you. But sometimes you'll never get it until you go and ask or you go and help other people. Every time I've ever done anything to build something, most of you know I like to build old cars and stuff at my house. Some of the best sermons I've ever got was out of building something and working, fabricating something with my hand, literally make pieces for cars that most people can't make and don't know how to do it. Well, God gave me a talent to do that, and I keep doing that. That's one of my CDs. That's one of my retirements, like Brother Terry said. We don't have a retirement at this church. My retirement is building something and selling it, putting in a CD. You know, and if the Lord leaves me here long enough, I'm going to spend that money. I'm going to enjoy it, you know. That's it. But He gives me stuff once in a while. But I'm amazed that I'll get a picture or I'll get something to work with, and that's all I got. You don't get nothing else until you get that. And I get that, and then I start working on it. And when I start working on it, the pieces begin to come left and right. As a for instance, I needed some headers. Y'all know what, most of you don't know what headers is. It's an exhaust thing that goes on a motor. I needed some. And it was like I was fixing to sit down and write out an order for it. And it was going to be a pretty good bit of money for what I got. I didn't have enough. And it's like, Lord, I know You got some somewhere. Well, a couple in our church went to a garage sale and bought some. Brand new, in a box, and brought them and gave them to me. Now, I would have never got that if I was not working and heading in that direction. And what I'm saying, and that may not mean much to you guys, but I've learned whether I'm doing something for God or I'm doing something for me, God will supply everything that I need when I need it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, if God would do that with an old piece of truck with an exhaust pipe on it, how much more will He give you what you need to help somebody? And that's other people. And that's where we're going with that. And when you do all of these things, when you have the J and you have the O, and Nick, come on up here. When you have the O and you have the Y, what do you have? All of it together. You have joy. Amen? You know why you have joy? Because we fulfill the will of God. And when we fulfill God's will, things will happen around us. Things are exciting when we see those things happening. And I want to just encourage you today, church, be all that God has for you to be. Know who you are in Jesus Christ. Recognize others around you and know who you are in everything that God has blessed you with. And God is going to do something great in this church. Amen? We are going to have revival in this church. How many agree with me about that? How many? And it's going to be a joyful, revival. When we have the real revival of God, when people come in here, they're gonna leap and shout and jump for joy. Jesus even jumped for joy one time. Can you imagine the Son of God? Something happened there. I can't even remember the story. I'm just reminded. But when Jesus saw it, Him and Peter's jumping up and down. Yee-hoo! You know, things are happening. And we're going to see the same thing happening here. Amen? Praise God. Won't you stand to your feet? I want to I want to just open these altars up today. And if any part of this touched you today, anywhere, you know, I'm not going to beg people to come down here, but if you want to get it right with God, if you say, you know what, I want that joy. I've been happy. I've been glad about things, but I really don't have that joy, that sensational joy that's eternal in my life, because I'm not sure if I'm fulfilling my part of what life is all about. I want you to come down here. We want to pray with you. We want to lay hands on you today. We want to impart the joy of the Lord on you today and encourage you by the power of the living God. Amen? To come. So come on, don't wait. We're not going to sing five verses of a song. Just get up and come and say, Lord, I want it. And I'm coming to get it right now. Come on.
You are the light to my heart and my soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only truth and the way. You are the light to my heart and my soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only truth and the way. Truth and way. I'll see the name in the name of Jesus. No sweeter name have I ever known. No sweeter name in the name of Jesus. No sweeter name of Jesus. No sweeter name have I ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. You are the light to my heart and my soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only truth and the way. You are the light to my soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only truth and the way. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Come break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Say it again. Break every chain, break every chain,
break every chain.
Let's give Lord a great clap offering day. Come on. Everybody say joy. Hey, good. Hey, say Brother Kenny, good word today. Would you say that?
Give it one more good clap offering. Good job. Hug somebody. We'll see you Wednesday night.
We got a little special song here. You might know it, you might not. This is per Pastor Kenny's request, so if I sing it wrong, just go with the flow.
And it is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told.
One more time.
And it is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told.
Amen. May the joy of the Lord be with you this week.